Right, let's jump into another deep dive. This time we're going to unpack a story that's just, well, it's packed with intrigue. We've got a miraculous healing, ancient medical beliefs, and some really bold claims that ruffled some feathers, you know, challenged the religious establishment.
It's fascinating.
Oh, it is. We're going to the Gospel of John, right in the Bible, the story of Jesus healing a man at the Pool of Bethesda.
Ah, yes. A story for the ages.
It really is. And what makes it so captivating, you know, so interesting? Well, it's got it all. We're talking miracles, ancient medical practices, those strict Jewish Sabbath laws, and then boom, Jesus drops these provocative statements about his relationship with God. Just like, whoa.
It really raises those big questions, doesn't it? About faith, about healing, about the nature of, well, divinity, really. It's resonated for centuries.
Absolutely. So, okay, ready to travel back in time. Let's go.
Yeah.
Ancient Jerusalem, we're at the Pool of Bethesda. And this place, it was known for, supposedly, you know, healing powers. So naturally, it attracts people, all sorts of ailments, all hoping for a miracle.
Oh, yeah. You can just imagine, right? The Gospel of John, it describes it as, well, a place with a great multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed, lay waiting.
Wow.
Heavy stuff. You can just feel that, can't you? That sense of hope, desperation, all hanging there in the air.
Definitely sets the stage, doesn't it?
Big time. And then right there in the middle of all this, there's this man. And this guy, he'd been ill for 38 years. 38 years.
That's almost an entire lifetime, you know, just suffering, the pain, the emotional toll. You can just imagine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hope just slowly fading away.
It's tough to even think about. But it really highlights, you know, what it means to be human, that vulnerability. That longing, that deep longing for healing.
Definitely does. It's profound.
And then comes the miracle. It's remarkable, really. So Jesus, he comes up to the man, right? And he asks him this simple question, just like, do you want to be healed? You'd think, okay, now the man's going to pour out his faith, right?
Yeah.
Beg for mercy.
Right.
But instead, he gives this, well, practical response. Yeah, it's interesting. He says, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me. It's like he's given up almost.
Yeah, after 38 years, you can imagine he's seen it all, countless others healed, and he's still stuck there.
Makes you think, doesn't it? Even with a miracle right there, sometimes human limitations, social structures, they get in the way.
It's true. But Jesus, he's not fazed by this at all. And then boom, he says, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Just like that.
Wow. And the man, he's healed instantly. Just like that. It really underscores the power, right? The extraordinary power that Jesus had. It's pure grace.
Talk about transformation. Just like, boom, from despair to wholeness. Amazing. But of course, there are always consequences, right? And we have to remember this is all happening on the Sabbath. The Sabbath, that was huge in Jewish tradition. A day of rest, immense religious significance.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly strict laws about what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. Like work, no work. And carrying any kind of burden, even something small, like, I don't know, a bed, that was a big no-no.
So when Jesus tells the man to take up your bed and walk, he's not just healing him. He's knowingly challenging the religious order.
Exactly. And it's like this ripple effect.
Yeah.
The Jewish authorities, they notice, right? They see this and they confront the man.
So now this is where it gets good. The man, he could have just owned up to it, right?
Right.
But no, he throws Jesus right under the bus, says, the man who healed me, he told me to do it.
Oh, that's clever. Maybe fear, confusion, but yeah, puts Jesus right in the hot seat. And this is where the story, it takes a turn. It's not just a healing anymore.
Oh, no. Now it's a theological showdown. You see, this wasn't just some minor rule breaking. Jesus's actions, they were seen as a direct challenge to the authority of the Jewish leaders and, well, to their whole understanding of God.
And that's what makes it so fascinating. We're getting into these deep theological waters here. Because remember, this is a culture where God, he's utterly holy, transcendent, totally separate from humanity.
Right. Huge. So when Jesus just casually calls God my father and then claims to be equal to God, well, yeah. You can imagine the reaction.
I mean, to them, that's blasphemy, a grave offense against God. And the authorities, they wanted to kill him.
Yeah, death penalty for blasphemy. That's how serious it was. High stakes. But Jesus, he doesn't back down, not one bit. He says, my father is working until now, and I am working.
He's drawing a parallel, right, between his actions and God's actions. He's not some rogue agent, he's saying. He's carrying out God's will. He's part of this ongoing work, creation, and redemption.
Wow. So it's not just a miracle worker. He's like an extension of God's power in the world.
Exactly. And that, my friend, is just the beginning.
I can't wait to hear more. Back again. And we're picking up right where we left off with this incredible story. You know, healing, controversy, Jesus, and those bold claims about his relationship with God. It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, and the thing is, he doesn't just make these claims. I mean, he backs them up. He lays out this argument, it's fascinating, really, to support his connection to God.
Okay, so let's dig into this. What kind of argument is he making here?
So he starts by making it clear his connection to God, and he states, flat out, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. Like, hey, I'm not freelancing here.
So it's not him going off and doing his own thing. It's all about aligning with God's purpose, right?
Absolutely. And then, and this is key, he goes even further. He suggests he knows God's plans, like intimately. He says, for whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing.
Whoa, that's deep. It's way beyond just following orders. It's like love, trust, a shared purpose.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so bold. I mean, think about it. This culture, God is totally other, transcendent, separate. And here's Jesus saying, nope, we're tight.
Yeah, no wonder those authorities were freaking out. But he doesn't stop there. He even hints at bigger things coming down the line. He tells the crowd, and greater works than these will he show him so that you may marvel.
Almost like a teaser trailer, right, for his ministry. But, and this is crucial, it's not just about wowing everyone with miracles. He talks about judgment, too. Heavy stuff.
Okay, now it gets even more interesting. He claims God gave all judgment to the Son. Whoa. That's traditionally God's domain, right?
100%. And that ties right back to his claim of being equal with God. Same authority to judge humanity. It's a game changer. Accepting Jesus means accepting God. It's all tied together.
He's laying it on the line. No mincing words. He's like, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him.
It's a choice. Pick a side. And this is the core of it all, right? Christian faith. Salvation, eternal life, it comes through Jesus as Son of God. It's right there. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life.
So not just physical healing. He's offering something way bigger, spiritual transformation, overcoming death itself. That's huge.
And this brings us to, well, the resurrection, rising from the dead. It's central to Christianity. Jesus even hints at it. He says an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live.
Powerful imagery. But passing from death to life, I mean, what does it even mean?
It's complex. But the key is, I think, Jesus is rooting his authority on God. He connects his power to God's power. He's saying, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. It's like, okay, if you believe God creates life, then believe I grant eternal life.
I'm not making this up, folks. My power comes straight from the source. And it's not just eternal life. He mentions judgment, too, because he is the Son of Man.
Right. And that title, Son of Man, it's huge. Connects him to humanity, but also his divine nature.
So both human and divine.
Yeah.
Powerful combo.
Totally. He's this bridge between heaven and earth, bringing humanity and God back together.
It's mind-blowing, really.
Yeah.
But even with all this, he's not forcing anyone. He puts it out there and lets people decide.
Exactly. No coercion. It's an offer, a choice, a path. A deeper relationship with the divine.
And that's what's so powerful about this story. Even today, it's about faith, yeah. But it's also about questioning, being open to something more.
It's like recognizing the divine, even when it's unexpected, and then figuring out, okay, what do I do now?
And there's another layer to this that we'll dive into when we're back. Those witnesses to Jesus's claims, what role do they play in all this? We'll find out soon. We're back and still diving deep into this story. Jesus at the Pool of Bethesda. We've covered the healing, the Sabbath, all those bold claims. But there's this other piece. I find it fascinating, really.
Yeah. It's not just what he's saying, right? It's how he's backing it up. He doesn't just say, believe me. He's like, here's the proof. Witnesses, evidence.
So not blind faith. It's more like, use your brain, check it out.
Exactly. He's inviting them to think, to investigate, see for themselves.
Okay, let's get into it. Who are these witnesses? What's he pointed to?
Well, first he goes back to that connection with God. He says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It's like, look, this isn't about me. This is God's will. I'm just the messenger.
So he's this conduit, right? God's power flowing through him.
Exactly. And then he brings up John the Baptist. Now, John was a big deal. People respected him, thought he was a prophet. So Jesus reminds them, you sent to John and he has borne witness to the truth. He's appealing to their experience like, hey, remember John, He vouched for me.
That guy you loved. He told you I was the real deal.
Right. And it's not just John. The miracles themselves, they're evidence too. Jesus says, "For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." He's saying, look at what's happening. This is proof.
Not just talk, right? It's the changed lives, the impact. You can't deny that.
And get this, he even uses their scriptures, the ones the Jewish authorities hold so sacred. He's like, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. He's using their own book to point right back to himself.
Wow, that's clever. Using their own system to show them what they're missing.
He's going beyond the rules, the literal words, and saying, look deeper, see the prophecy unfolding.
But here's the thing, and it's kind of sad. Even with all this, the witnesses, the evidence, they still resist. They can't accept it.
It's that human thing, isn't it? We get stuck in our ways, hard to let go, even when the evidence is staring us in the face.
And Jesus, you can hear the frustration in his voice. He says, you refuse to come to me that you may have life. It's like this cry of, why won't you see it? This is the way to true life.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? What are we holding on to so tightly that we miss the miracle? Those amazing things happening around us.
Big question. Are we open to seeing things differently, to recognizing the divine, even when it's unexpected?
This story, it challenges us. Look inside, be willing to let go of what we think we know. Embrace that power of faith, that transformation.
So we've reached the end of our deep dive, this story of Jesus at the Pool of Bethesda. We've talked healing, hope, divine power. But it's more than just an old story, right? It's a mirror. It makes us think about our own beliefs, our own experiences. What do we do when we encounter the divine?
It's a question for the ages. This story keeps echoing, and it asks us, what if you were there at that pool, seeing the healing, hearing Jesus's words? Would you have taken his hand, accepted that offer, wholeness, transformation, eternal life?
Something to think about, isn't it? Might just lead us to a deeper understanding of who we are and where we fit in this amazing, mysterious existence.